Welcome to Manager Tools. This week, MT Disk Behavior Change Template, Part 1. The questions this cast answers are, how can I be more effective interpersonally? How can I get along better with people who are different than me? And is there a way to simplify MT Disk Behavior Change?
Folks, obviously, if you're going to take advantage of the behavior change template we're talking about in this cast, you need to take MT Disk. It's only $30. It's smarter, it's cheaper and better than our previous version, and it's a heck of a lot simpler too. Two-thirds or more of the document, output document, you'll get immediately after you finish the 20-minute instrument. Two-thirds of it is focused on how you can be more effective with folks who behave differently than you. And that matters because only about 20 to 25% of the people around you are going to have the same profile as you, all things being equal. So come to the website, take MT Disk, and learn about your tendencies, learn your strengths and weaknesses, and what that means for working with others. And then start changing your behavior. You'll be more effective for it.
We've launched MT Disk pretty recently this year, and it's available to everybody to make it easier for all of us to change our behaviors and become more effective. Two-thirds of the guidance in MT Disk is about how to change how you behave when working with others who are different from you. But if you don't know someone's MT Disk scores, you've really got to be able to study others' behaviors and then move in their direction.
Mm-hmm. Not everyone's walking around with the scores on their foreheads, so that.
Which would be helpful, though.
Which would be helpful, but unlikely to occur in the near future. So we're going to help with that. Today's outline consists of first, a review of the five behaviors, then how MT Disk and behaviors align so well, then the behaviors to look for, how to study your colleagues' behaviors, and finally, how to easily change your own behavior.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, y'all, we're starting with an overview of the five types of behaviors for three reasons. First, because all success comes from behaviors. It's not ideas. There are plenty of people with good ideas, great ideas even, who never put them into action. It's not knowledge. There are plenty of smart people who get nowhere. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of those people in the world. It's not about having a plan because there are lots and lots of plans out there that are either not acted on or never worked all the way through. One of the most popular assumptions out there is that it is attitude. And it's not, because you can't assess. It's so many. I've got too much alliteration today already. You can't assess anyone's attitude without behaviors,
right? I mean, lots of people say attitude, right? When they're talking about another person, oh, they had a bad attitude in the meeting, but they immediately retract that stance when we put to them a small thought experiment. So, for example, you're told that someone has a bad attitude, but in the first 3 weeks that you've spent working with them, they're polite, they're personable, they're timely, they're professional, and others like her. They enjoy working with her. Mm-hmm. She's fun to be around. So I ask you now, does she have a bad attitude? That is, put differently, can you say someone has a bad attitude if you see no behavioral evidence whatsoever of said attitude? No, you can't.
You can say it. It's just that no one will believe you.
Because no one will believe you.
You're the girl who cried bad attitude.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
No one will believe you because they won't be able to see it, because behaviors are things that we can see and hear. And all success comes from behavior. What matters is what you do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, Kate said there are multiple reasons. We're going to start with this dialogue, this explanation. Another of those reasons is because most of us don't know what behaviors are. That is, for the majority of professionals, when behavior is mentioned, people assume it means interpersonal behavior.
Right.
Right? But while interpersonal behavior is important, we're not disputing that, it's not nearly the whole story. That is, interpersonal behavior being the words someone says, how they say them, facial expression, body language. We're not including in those comparisons or those ideas, behavior in respect to our work product, which also matters.
Hopefully. Huh.
Hopefully. Yeah, exactly. So when we understand what behaviors are and how important they are, and when you have a map for seeing behaviors, for analyzing behaviors, you can then make small changes in what you do that lead to big changes in terms of what you achieve with that knowledge.
Okay. So the five behaviors. First, the words you say. There's a difference, audible and measurable, between the salesman, for example, who asks, "Can I place that order?" and the one who says, "I hope you'll consider placing an order." Both may mean well. Both surely would say that they meant well. And meaning well and saying those two things will likely get you different results in the long run. Only one of those statements is a close. Can I place that order? It has a question mark at the end of it. And it's a close because it requires a response.
Mm-hmm.
The words you choose to say out loud to others are a choice. And different words produce different results.
Mm-hmm.
Your choice of words makes a difference in business results, clearly. And more to the point, certain words are known to produce distinctly better results in certain situations, which we can all imagine, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. For example, so let's say a floor production worker had just shut down their machine. And while they were diagnosing it, saw a completely stripped part that they knew would require ordering, immediately determined what the cause of the issue is. What if, in response to the inquiry, "Hey, what's going on?" he said, "I'm working on it." Would you want that? Or would you want, "I'm working on it, and I think what I have here is a stripped widget, which means some downtime"?
Oh, I want the second one.
Right. Both of the statements are true. The words are different, but we have a preference to a set of words, which are better. The second.
Yeah. Moving the conversation along. Definitely. Okay. Different example. Suppose the love of your life says in passing, maybe waiting in line at a theater concession, "I'd kind of like to marry you. Do you want popcorn?" Probably those are not the words you'd prefer.
Right.
And what's more, you would argue there are some effective words and the words affect the meaning of the statement significantly. Perhaps I would like something other than popcorn. And we're on the same page there, I think. Even if the intent were the same and, you know, maybe I don't know that we'll leave that aside for a second. But even if the intent were the same, the words matter if they're likely to influence outcomes. And I would say this, people talk a lot about intentions, their intentions being positive mostly. I am going to just go ahead and say out loud, I think in 99% of situations, people do not have negative intent.
Oh, I totally agree with you.
Especially at work. I cannot imagine in the last 5 years a situation where I genuinely believe that there was someone who thought to themselves, "You know what? I'm going to mess this up." Or
this is going to be so, you know, bad. What? I'm really going to make a total mistake here on purpose.
Or even just, "I'd really like to inflict some pain."
Mm-hmm.
Even if the intent is positive, and we're going to assume it is, words matter.
They matter. Exactly. It was once said of William F. Buckley that people lost arguments to him, said they lost those arguments only because he's articulate. Whereas they can't themselves quite give their voice to the razor-like thoughts. But the fact is, you can't think what you can't say. If you can't think those words, you're certainly not going to say them out loud. It's not like people wield words that they hadn't thought of in advance. Of course they had. Mm-hmm. The ideas went through their brain before they said them out loud. Words matter. Words matter.
Okay, so words you say is first. Second is how you say those words. The tone, tenor, speed, inflection with which you say your words can change your meaning, intentionally or not, enormously.
Oh. That's absolutely true. So Mark uses an example. We've got a friend, Michael Swenson. He, in terms of alliteration to help for comparison purposes, uses the string of words, "I didn't say you had an attitude problem." in order to illustrate this point. So first, for example, if you said, I didn't say you had an attitude problem, we'd all quite likely, and for good reason, assume someone else had an attitude problem. Maybe not you, but someone else.
Yeah, somebody did. And that inflection changes it from, makes it different from saying, I didn't say you had an attitude problem.
Mm-hmm. You didn't say it, but.
Yeah, I've allowed you to infer it. And now it's clear we're talking about you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So if I didn't say, that's different than if I didn't say you had an attitude problem. And maybe we have another kind of problem. Right.
For example, you could say, I didn't say you had an attitude problem. Wow. Yeah, clearly if you've got a problem, it's a different kind of problem. But there's still a problem and it's yours.
If you tell me how to solve a problem and you do so with a quiet and reserved tone, which I infer as lacking in confidence, I might choose to give the job to someone whose words are delivered more quickly, more loudly, more briefly, because it might, in my opinion, denote a high confidence level in resolving that problem. And therefore, I could transfer some of your confidence to my assumption that you'll do well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So how you say those words, speed, tone, inflection, volume.
Okay. That takes us then to the next behavior, your facial expressions.
Ooh, I love this one.
Yeah. Usually, smiling when you agree to do something extra for a customer is perceived by those customers, we think logically so, as more professional than agreeing to do something for your customer while furrowing your brow and not smiling at all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could defend yourself, and I believe that people in the works of history have. You may defend yourself by saying that you meant nothing by it, but communication is what the listener does, and you're still responsible for your communication. That is, you've given the impression to that customer that you were unhappy while fulfilling their request. You'll do it, but not with a positive facial expression.
Exactly. I see this. One of the times I think that people can, that would resonate with people in the current zeitgeist is if you're on a Zoom call and somebody's speaking and somebody else makes a face. The other day, I made a face in a Zoom meeting while someone was speaking and somebody else said, Kate doesn't like that idea. I had bashed my knee underneath my desk.
Oh, yeah.
And again, the assumption was, based on my facial expression, that I hadn't liked the idea.
Mm-hmm.
That was not the case. And that's a situation where your facial expression matters. People can see you.
Mm-hmm.
If they can see you, they can see your face. And, hey, your face says, don't love it.
Which, mm-hmm.
That's
what it says.
That's what it's
saying. Communication what the listener does. Your face doesn't look like you like that idea.
I fully had to communicate out loud afterwards, like, no, I bashed my knee. I'm fine.
I'm so sorry. I'm fine. Yes. And I like the idea.
I like this idea. I just
exactly.
have a problem with my desk. And right. Okay, so communication is what the listener does. The listener is making an assumption based on all the data they're getting, some of which comes from your face. You're responsible for that data coming from mm-hmm. your face. And the statistic that we're most familiar with is meaning is determined 7% based on the words we use,
mm-hmm.
38% by tonal differences, and 55% by nonverbal differences, such as facial expression, and then our next behavior, which is body language as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
it matters.
Yeah. So when I heard the idea on the call the other day, and the person giving that idea was excited, me not smiling at that time, which was an accident, or if you were to choose not to smile, which mm-hmm. people do, right? People do that. That facial expression allows for the inference that you're not excited about the idea, or in the case of knee bashing, that you hate it.
Yeah.
If you hear this idea and you choose not to smile, it's reasonable to assume on their part that, hey, you're not into it. And if you've only just heard it, maybe it's the first time you've heard the idea, it's seen as quickly disregarding someone else's hard work without any understanding, without listening to more, just immediately no, which okay, maybe in the end you prove right. And let's not be surprised then if you're thought of someone who's not a relationship builder or someone who doesn't help other people's ideas get heard or someone who's not supportive. You could even be seen as someone who's not a team player.
Yeah.
Which
exactly. It's that Kate.
Your face.
That Kate, that, her face. Kate's always face. She hates all the ideas.
It's not a team player. Exactly. It really was just that I like got back. I bashed my own. We don't need to talk about my knee anymore.
No. Okay. Okay. Facial expression matters. And So does your body language.
Yeah.
For example, crossing one's arms isn't always just a response to the temperature of a room. Right? Looking down when asked a direct question isn't perceived the same way as making eye contact while giving that response. Drumming your fingers on a conference room table may mean nothing, but most people would argue with you because you do seem to look a bit bored.
Right? Okay, so suppose a direct, when asked about their status on a project, says pretty good, while smiling and nodding their head and looking right into your eyes. Mm-hmm. You might have a positive experience with that. Mm-hmm. Maybe the other direct says, pretty good, after pausing, looking down, and then looking to the side.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can honestly say that both answers mean the exact same thing to you.
Right. They don't.
They don't.
It makes you feel a way about whether or not their project is really pretty good or not.
Right. We're not suggesting that one direct is right and the other is wrong. There's just a general agreement about the differences of this manner of communicating. And If there's a difference in the meaning, then there may be a difference in the effectiveness in achieving results. I had somebody come to a conference that we were presenting in New York years ago. Mm-hmm. And he said that he was there because he had Googled, you know, I can't remember what his Google search was. He was there, though, because he was struggling in his role. He wasn't getting promoted. He said that his boss said that he appeared disinterested and just kind of not engaged. Mm-hmm. And it took about 30 minutes for me to figure out that the problem was the way that he listens in meetings, which is what he was doing in the meeting he was in with me. Is he sits, he pushes back from the table, he crosses his arms, he looks down and he nods.
Mm-hmm.
And while that may be like your thinking pose, at the very first break, I told him, hey, dude, when you do those things, it looks like you're sleeping.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a good chance your boss thinks you're sleeping in meetings.
Right?
Not good. Not a good perception.
Well, certainly not the perception of someone who's leaning ahead, right? Nodding and smiling while looking at you.
Yeah, taking notes, asking questions. Yeah. So perfect example of a chance that what you're, doing is perceived as not, or it's not, it's perceived in a way that's not what you mean to communicate.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not, to your point earlier, Kate, it's not wrong. Like they're not doing something harmful, but they are giving the perception to the audience, the person with whom they're communicating, that they feel a way about what's being discussed.
Maybe the way to say it is, because you're right, it's not wrong. Maybe the way to say it is, it's not harmful, except that it could be harmful to how other people view you.
Yeah,
so it's, totally. It's not harmful, right? I mean,
it's not.
It could be benign. It could also be negative to the way you're perceived. And we don't want to help you. We want to help you be perceived positively.
Exactly.
So body language and then work product.
Mm-hmm. And work product, exactly. What you do and how well you do your job behaviors is important. Conceptually, this in part flows from your organization as an entity unto itself, with you and your fellow associates as the hands and arms and eyes and ears of the firm. In the same way that your hands and eyes engage in your behavior, you engage in your firm's behavior. Now, for some listeners, that is with a U.S. legal background, we think of the firm as it relates to its legal personhood status. One can't assert themselves as a disconnected individual if one is acting professionally in their role or on behalf of their firm. Mm-hmm. So managers can't be managers without the firm's existence to make that role possible.
Right.
That means your job responsibilities are a good starting point to think about what your behaviors ought to be at work. Job responsibilities serve as a form of avatar for our work product behaviors.
Mm-hmm. So, as a general rule, work product is defined more specifically behaviorally as quality. How does your work compare to accepted standards of efficiency and excellence?
Mm-hmm. Quantity. Mm-hmm. How much work have you done? That's certainly true in many jobs where there are numerical goals, right? Numerical targets. Mm-hmm. Though there are many jobs that are not formally measured where quantity can be assessed, it is a behavior.
Yes. Accuracy. Does your work require rework or does it meet generally accepted practices in your profession on the first go?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. On timeliness. Do you meet deadlines? Now, speed can sometimes create inefficiencies, but usually it's an enormous competitive advantage to move quickly. Frequency of work product is also kind of a part of timeliness. That is, one's own timeliness is included too. Being where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there.
Yeah.
For example. Right? Now, I would go so far as to say timeliness is more often than not a choice that is purposely uncommitted to. For example, it's kind of funny how people who are always late for meetings don't miss more airline flights than the rest of us.
Dude.
I mean, it's exerting effort where you think it matters.
It's a direct reflection, in my opinion, and this is more of a social comment in terms of my social life versus my professional life, because I have a lot of people in my professional life to whom I should give very deep credit for being timely. We work really hard to be timely here, and well done, team. Mm-hmm. In my personal life, wow, I see it as a direct reflection of your priorities. I know people who are never late to work, and they are constantly late.
Yeah,
to
personal.
I know someone who has been late to every single thing they've been invited to, including Thanksgiving dinner in the last 3 years, but was early to their own birthday party.
Oh, yeah. I mean, priorities.
I mean, I laugh so hard. They beat me there. And I laugh so hard. And I think the rest of my family must have thought I was being a lunatic. But I have said in the past that if you're capable of being on time and you choose when not to be on time, it's a reflection of your priorities.
Yeah.
Okay. Enough about birthday parties. And documents is next.
Yes, documents.
You're responsible for the communication and analysis and ideas that you present to others in written and electronic form. Mm-hmm. Y'all, emails are behavior. You make choices about what you said and how you said it. And this is very much akin to the words you say and how you say them, because it's just another format of that. We talked about that earlier. So documents and email.
Mm-hmm. And then relationships. Ooh. Also relationships. And your relationships are an aggregated form of behavior. That is, the words you say, how you say them, frequency, quality, saying I'm sorry and apologizing when you deserve to say I'm sorry and apologize. Your organization relies on you in order for its and your effectiveness, for you to maintain professionally viable relationships with the other people within it. If you don't do so, that's going to affect other parts of your work. It's going to negatively impact how much you can get done and how you get that work done, and it will in turn negatively impact your firm as well as you as an individual.
Mm-hmm. If you've heard us say all this before, y'all, you might have also heard us talk a little bit about safety. And in some cases, we have discussed safety as a work behavior. It doesn't apply to everyone, obviously.
Yeah.
And you may have heard that as well from us in the past. Here, we're not going to focus on it because a hard hat doesn't have a disc profile.
Mm-hmm.
And in case you've been listening for a while and you may have heard us talk about safety in the past, and we're going to focus on these others this time because some of this is crucial to how we are viewed at work. It's not just about output.
Absolutely.
It is about your output, and it's also about how you're viewed at work. And I know some of us don't love that conversation. Some of us aren't interested in that being a part of our work and how we're viewed. It's the nature of the beast, y'all. It is true. It is part of what happens at work, what you can do to be effective. So,
That's absolutely true. If you don't like the results you're getting at work, look toward your behavior to see what the problem is before you start looking outside of yourself.
Absolutely. 100%. This is very much a mind your own garden situation. Mm-hmm. And more so in that if you're responsible for other people's behaviors or other people's results, in some cases, after you've minded your own garden, it's time to start minding the gardens of others.
Exactly. So. Exactly. Help them come to realize the error of their ways.
Yes. And in this case, too, because we're speaking about communication, our hope is that we're really focused on helping ourselves to do better. Good.
Folks, we continue to get signups for our capstone conference of the year every year, the M Conference. In 2022, we're back in Chicago on October 26th and 27th. We'll have 10 different speakers from all over the Manager Tools community talking about managerial and executive issues to give you some bigger picture. And perhaps even more importantly than that, the connections you will make will serve you for the rest of your career. It's a relationship builder's dream, quite frankly. So come to the website, sign up for the M Conference, the highlight of our conference year.
Okay, so how MTDISC and behaviors align so well? Okay, so the third reason, Kate mentioned earlier, we're going to talk about three reasons. The third of those reasons we started with behaviors is that MTDISC is itself a behavioral instrument. Now, I think we've probably said this before on our casts, but DISC is not a personality test. It doesn't tell you who you are, how you feel. It simply gives you an indication of, in any given situation, how you are most likely to behave. Mm-hmm. The words you say, how you say them, facial expression, body language, work product. Making it then, in turn, the perfect instrument for professionals, because professional life is all about behaviors.
Yeah. Don't feel alone if all of this talk of behavior is new to you. There's so much discussion out there of attitude, intent, and personality, and mental state, and emotional state, and group identity, and the modern canon of leadership. It's really easy to get confused. Right now, feelings are particularly popular, which for those of you with a specific profile, that might be really uncomfortable. And all those other topics are interesting. They're not dispositive. What matters in our work is our behaviors. It's not what we think or feel or know.
Right.
It is what we do that matters. If you feel like you're okay on time and you're late, does your feeling make you on time? No.
No. Rarely.
If you meant for it to go well, say for perhaps so your intention was good, you meant to make your deadline and then you didn't, should you be rewarded because you meant to make your deadline? If you
mean to make them all.
I mean,
I would suggest.
That is the one piece what we said before about like we assume positive intent. We assume that nobody comes into work today and thinks to themselves, you know what? I am going to purposely miss my deadline. Mm-hmm. So we assume that everyone listening means to make all their deadlines.
Yeah.
Or maybe you know you're supposed to do something a certain way and you don't do it that way. Are you to be praised for knowing that you should have done it that way? Because, No. Here's the thing about behaviors. We all engage in them all the time, but for the most part, they're invisible to us, ourselves. Mm-hmm. Most of us, let's be honest, virtually all of us don't spend time thinking about our behaviors. We do think about what we're going to do, and often we don't think about the string of behaviors, the steps that allow doing like that doing to occur.
Mm-hmm. You're so busy fulfilling daily life that you don't have time to think about behaviors. I mean, they are the most basic of building blocks in respect to the things that you do. How often do you think about how much you smile? Like, oh, well, that's my seventh one today. Right? No one's thinking that. You don't have time to think about that. How often do you ask yourself how your eye contact was in that last conversation with a colleague? Or the speed of your speech, right? Oh, am I speaking at a perfect speed? Or was that a little bit too fast? Whether you use feeling words like love or enjoy or happy, as opposed to using logic words like process or metric or measure. Do you pay attention and count how often you use other people's names when addressing them?
Yeah, some people like to hear their name.
Yeah, some people, it matters to hear their name. And if you're not paying attention to how often you do it, which of course you're not, then how do you know whether or not you're building that relationship with them in a way that makes sense to them?
I can tell that almost no. Well, and it's hard for... It's so funny because I'm listening to you and you're asking these questions and I'm thinking, I do it all the time.
I know, me too.
From the perspective of a person who's constantly thinking about behaviors and that, I can tell that it's different for other people. Almost none of us, almost no people, think about these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. People don't think about behavior. And the issue there is that our behaviors are the building blocks of success.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk, you know, in this guidance about some behaviors to focus on to help you modify your behaviors when your natural, unthinking tendencies might not be the most effective way to proceed. In the same way, and we've said this before, that I would wear different clothes to the gym than I would to a wedding.
Exactly.
I wouldn't wear the same clothes to a garden. And so we're going to think about these things so that your normal, okay, I'm not paying attention ways might be, you know, just tailored a bit so that they're more effective.
Mm-hmm. But keep in mind, guys, in terms of our conversation here, we're talking a lot about how you can be more purposeful, more conscious of, pay more attention to your behaviors to help you be more effective. But if you're a manager, or if you're an executive and you're listening to this cast, that should give you important information to help you do your job better in terms of the items which you could give feedback on or coach your direct on, or even just pay attention to your directs in respect to, right? Mm-hmm. This isn't just about you if you're the leader of a team. This is also about them. And to take it one step further, with all of these behavioral clues that we're talking about, you can make a quick estimate of someone else's, your directs, for example, MT DISC profile, so that you know where their strengths and their weaknesses lie in terms of their behaviors when communicating with people of a different profile. So you can help them learn how to tailor their behaviors as well.
Thanks, everybody. We'll be back next week with a continuation of this topic.